first of all, like, hit record on everything. Thank you everyone for coming. I'm very excited to see everyone. This is an idea that's been in the making for a while, and it was really with a lot of siyata d'shmaya that it happened at the right time, the right place. Welcome. I wish I anticipated more people. I ran out of source sheets.
I'm willing to share.
Excellent. So it happened at the right time, at the right place. But this is a topic that really excites me. These are all topics that really excite me. I remember my first week in YU, they give you a course. It's like a crash course in Jewish philosophy, in Makshava. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, when am I ever going to need this? It's nice stuff. When am I ever going to need this? And then I started realizing that the more I learned, the more I didn't know. And I was figured if I didn't know it, my mom always told me that means other people don't know it as well. And so I'm excited for this three-part series to talk about Olam Haba, Gan Eden, Gehenna, and then finally to close it off with Mashiach. So before we can really get into Olam Haba, as complicated as it is, as you pointed out, we have to really start with the basic question. And the basic question is, who are we? Not like my name, where am I from, and all that stuff, but like, who are we? What are we made up of? And a lot of the things I'm going to quote tonight come from, starting with the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. He wrote the Derech Hashem, he wrote Mesillas Yesharim, he wrote a lot of the really fundamental works in Makshava, in Jewish thought. And the other one I'm going to quote is Rav Chaim Volozhin. So Rav Chaim Volozhin wrote the Nefesh HaChaim. He obviously lived in Volozhin. And when I was in the Gross Kol in Israel, so the Rosh Kol said, we can learn together, we can learn anything you want. And so I was like, okay, I need something esoteric that I won't be able to understand by myself, that he's going to help, like, just open up for me. So we learned Nefesh HaChaim. He read Nefesh HaChaim to me, and I wrote as quickly as possible. And thank God I have that sefer still on my shelf with all the notes in the margins. So these two, the Ramchal and Rav Chaim Volozhin, they talk about how we are a guf, we're a body, and we're a neshama, and we're a soul. And we're really being pulled in two opposite directions. Because on the one hand, we have this physical body, which is pulling us down. It wants physical pleasures. It wants to eat. It wants to sleep. It wants to drink. It wants to sleep. It wants to do physical things. And it really wants to do physical things. And it's really out of balance. It's really out of whack. And then we have this neshama, this soul that's really kind of pulling us up. Chazal say there's no such thing as a Jew who doesn't want to be a Talmud Chacham. Because it's what the Hasidim would call the Pintel Yid. It's our Jewish neshama. It's pulling us up. It wants to be close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And so we are really being pulled in these two directions. And as the Ramchal explains, after the chait of Adam HaRishon, he ate the Eitz Hadas, and it was that Adam HaRishon was as perfect, he was in perfect symmetry. He was guf and neshama. And then afterwards, after he did that, we became much more physical. And so we were pulled much more down, which is why every time I say, okay, I'm going to wake up early, not that I don't wake up early enough, but I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. I'm going to learn before I go to the 6:15 chakras. Sleep always overcomes me. Because there's just so, as much as our neshama wants it, our guf is fighting it even harder. And the Ramah, when the Ramah is, the Ramah of Moshe Isserles, so he wrote a sefer on halacha. He wrote his own Shulchan Aruch, and when the Shulchan Aruch was published, he was ready to publish his. And he said, I'm not going to publish a work that is going to be, that's going to fight with or be a competition for this other work. So he decided he was going to read the Shulchan Aruch, and he was going to put in his ha'aros, his thoughts. And so that became the Shulchan Aruch, as we know, with the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So the Ramah really just wrote about halacha. And very, very infrequently, he starts talking about Makshava. He starts talking about Jewish thought. And one of those places is where he explains the bracha of Asher Yatzar that we say every single day. So in Siman Vav, like right at the beginning of Orach Chaim, right at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, he's explaining the bracha of Asher Yatzar. And he says that at the end of the bracha, when we say Bracha Ta Hashem Mafli La'asos, he does wonders. What's the wonder that he does? That he put a physical body and a spiritual neshama together. Because these two things could not be more at ends with one another. And so that's really who we are. We are these two points of tension. And so when we get into, like, what is the neshama? So Rav Chaim Volozhin, in his Nefesh HaChayim talks, people like to call it the glass blower analogy. Because what do you have when you blow glass? You have a person, and you have a tube, and then you have the physical glass. So he says that the neshama has three main parts to it. The top, the highest part of the neshama, the part that's connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he says that is called the neshama. Great name. Very creative. That's called the neshama. Where did it get that name? Source number one, in Bereishis. V'yitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afar min ha'adama v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim v'yia adam l'nefesh chayim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed man from the soil, and he blew into the nostrils of man life, and man became a living being. So neshama comes from the word neshima. It comes from the word breath. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's his breath. The top of us are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you hear that medrash that talks about how Yaakov Avinu is engraved into the side of the Kisei HaKavod, and you start to think to yourself, what is the Kisei HaKavod, and how can Yaakov Avinu be engraved into it? This is what we're talking about. It's the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is how we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the top of our neshama. And then, if you breathe, if you blow out, so what happens? A ruach, a wind. And that's what we call the middle part. It's like the connecting part. And we refer to it, we're very creative, one more time. We call it the ruach. We call it, it's the wind. That is the connection point between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you get down to us, to man. What part is actually sitting inside of us is the nefesh. And this comes, it's something we're probably familiar with because we sing it at least once on Shabbos, probably multiple times. The second source from Shmos, V'shamer b'nei Yisrael, I'm not going to sing. I do enough singing on my own at Shal Shodas. V'shamer b'nei Yisrael, that b'nei Yisrael should keep the Sabbath. And at the end, uviyom ha-shvi, on the seventh day, Shabbos, they should rest, v'yinafash. And they should come to a total rest, a total standstill. And that's where nefesh is, because the neshama is the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ruach is that wind, and the nefesh is it inside of us. It's where it comes to a rest inside of us. And so that's why, A, it's called the glass blower analogy, but that's why, B, when you hear about people quoting the Tanya, and the Tanya says that we are a chelek elokai mimal mamish, we are a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally, that's what it's talking about, because we come from the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it comes down all the way inside of us. As Rav Chaim Volozhin says, that only a little bit of this entire thing is sitting actually in our body. He says only the heel of it is actually in our body. Most of it's above us, going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, going up even further than that. And Rav Chaim Volozhin and Nefesh Chaim also goes on to talk about how we were created B'Tzelem Elokim, like the rabbi spoke about on Shabbos. We were created B'Tzelem Elokim in the image of God. And he says, what does that mean that we're in the image of God? As the rabbi said on Shabbos, this is what God looks like. And so I said to someone, I took away from the drasha that I'm God. But other than that, we're created B'Tzel Malachi, we're created in the image of God. So what does that mean? He says that means that we influence the world with our actions, just like Hashem does. There's two worlds, he says. You have the upper world, whatever that means, and then you have this world. And everything we do affects the upper world, and everything that happens in the upper world affects this world. So when there's a base of Mikdash built in the upper world, then there could be a base of Mikdash built down here. And when we destroy the base of Mikdash in the upper world, so then the base of Mikdash down here gets destroyed as well. As my Rebbe said to me in Gruss, when I was writing frantically, he said when the base of Mikdash was destroyed, they were playing Legos. They were playing Legos, that's all they were doing. We had already destroyed it spiritually, and so down here, it was destroyed as well. And even though this sounds a little bit Kabbalistic, and it's in the Gemara, so I feel comfortable saying it. It's in the Gemara in Moed Katan, where it proves that there is an upper world, there's a base of Mikdash in the upper world, and that reflects into this world as well. And so with that intro about who we are and what we are and what we're made of, now that will help us hopefully understand Olam Haba a whole lot better. As the Ramchal says, I don't like the word famously in Masilas Yesharim, that Olam Haza, this world, is a preparation for Olam Haba. We're in the entryway and we're waiting to go into the main hall. And so when we speak of death and patira and someone leaving this world, we're really only speaking about one part of who we are. We're really only speaking about the physical part of who we are. But the neshama, the spiritual part of who we are, that is something that is everlasting. So Olam Haba is really where it's the reward is going to get paid out. But the question now becomes, what does that look like? And so we're going to see two understandings of what Olam Haba might be or how it is. And then I'm even going to try to go as far as settle the machlokas here and now. Show how I think that not we, but just our Masorah has taken a side on this whole thing. So the first opinion is the Rambam. And the Rambam only has two steps to his process. Step number one, Olam Haza. Step number two, Olam Haba. You have this world, and you have the next world. And that's all he has. So if you look in the third source, the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva. So the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva is 10 chapters long. Because in theory, what you could do is there's 10 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, 10 chapters long, carry the one. You can do one chapter per day for all the 10 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's something I tell myself every year I'm going to do, and it's something I did once. And it was very meaningful. I highly recommend it. So anyway, in the eighth chapter, the eighth halakha, he says, Zeh shekaru oso chachamim ha'olam haba. So he says, that which the chachamim referred to as olam haba, lo b'nei she'eno matzoi ata. It's not because it's not here, it's not found here. V'zeh ha'olam oved v'achakach yavo oso olam. And it's not that this world is going to be destroyed, and then there will be a new world, and this is this world, and the world to come will be the new world. In Hadavar Kain, he says that's not what it is. Rather, says the Rambam, Ela Harihu Matzoi Ve'omid, that it's in existence, it's standing, it's right here. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, he quotes from Tehillim, Asher Safanta L'Re'acha Pa'alta, that you have hidden for those who fear you. V'lo Karu Ula Mahaba, Ela Mipnei She'osan HaChayim, Mayin Lo La'adam Achar Chaya Olam Haza. So he says, why is it called Olam Haba? Because it comes after life in this world. She'anu Kayamim bo beguf v'nefesh v'zeh nimsa l'chol adam v'rishona. He says that because here we exist with a guf, with a body, and with a nefesh, and with a soul. And that is what everyone has at first. So the Rambam, without saying so much explicitly, is hinting to a lot of things he says in other places about what he thinks Olam Haba is. So first of all, what he did say pretty explicitly is that there's just two worlds. This world, the next world. Two worlds. But the other things that he believes is he doesn't believe that the next world has a body to it. He thinks that the next world is just a spiritual world. As he says over here, that this, it comes after this life, which is beguf uvenefesh. It's with a body and with a soul. And so therefore he thinks that just this world is body and soul. And the next world is just a spiritual existence. He also, what he's saying, and this is not so crazy, is he's saying that it's l'chol ha'adam, is l'chol adam b'rishona. Everyone has this existence first, which means that not everyone has the next existence first. But as the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, yesh chol Yisrael yesh lam chelk be'olam haba, everyone has a piece, a share in the world to come. So therefore, really, anyone has the opportunity to have it. You have to do something pretty bad to get cut out of olam haba. So, but he's saying, but at least everyone gets this world, at least. So what is he going off of? Where did the Rambam come up with this idea that you have this world and you have the next world, and the next world is a spiritual world? And I think I left out, when it's a spiritual world, that means that there's no drinking, that means there's no eating, that means there's no sleeping. None of those things that that the body wants to do. None of those physical pleasures. So it all comes from a Gemara in Brachos. And really, you could read this Gemara in different ways. But the Gemara in Brachos, in source number 4, says, Margula bepume derav. There was something that Rav used to say a lot. Lo ka'olam hazeh ha'olam haba. He said that this world is not like the next world. Why? Because ha'olam haba ain bo lo achila, velo shtia, velo piri rivia, velo maser matan, velo kina, velo sina, velo tachras. He says that in olam haba, there's going to be no eating, no drinking, no procreating, no business dealings, no jealousy, no hatred, no competition. Elat tzadikim yoshvin v'atrasam He says, rather, the tzaddikim are going to sit, crowns on their heads, and they are going to benefit from the radiance of the Shechina, the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shneimar, it says, V'yachazu es elokim v'yochlu v'yishtu, that they saw Hashem, and they ate and they drank. So meaning not that they actually ate and drank, but they were so satiated by the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it was as if they ate and drank. They weren't hungry or thirsty for anything because they got everything they needed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then this leaves us with a little bit of what to be desired, because he said that we go straight from this world to the next world. And just because these are words we've used, we know that there is Techiyas HaMesim. We talk about it every day in Shmon Esrei. We know that there is Mashiach. There's a great line that Rav J.J. Schachter has. He always says, thank God for Mashiach. Thank God for Mashiach. Because what would a rabbi do without Mashiach? How would they ever finish a speech? With the coming of Mashiach, b'meher v'yameinu, amen. Right? What would the rabbis do without Mashiach? So we know, we talk about Mashiach all the time, but the Rambam, it doesn't seem to fit within the Rambam. Where is Techiyas HaMesim? Where is the resurrection of the dead? And where is Mashiach? Where does this fit into his picture? But, we know that the Rambam believes in both of these things, because the Rambam put it into his Yod Gimel Ikar Yemunah. He put it into his 13 fundamentals of the world, of his 13 principles of faith. And so therefore, we know that he believes that there will be a resurrection. We know that he believes that there will be a Mashiach. And so what relationship does he have to these things? How does he feel that they fit into the bigger picture? So if you look in the Rambam in source number 5, in Hilchos Melachim, he says, He describes what it will be. Lo nisavu chachamim v'anaviyim yemos Mashiach. He says that the reason that the sages and the prophets desired the days of Mashiach, lo kidei shiyishlatu al kol ha'olam, it's not that they should rule the entire world. Lo kidei shiyirdu ba'akam, it's not that they should rule over the nations of the world. V'lo kidei shiyinasu osam ha'amim, it's not that again, that they should be exalted by the nations of the world. It's not that they should eat, they should drink, they should celebrate. It's rather that they should have the freedom to sit and to learn. They're not going to have anything that's going to come and that's going to come and distract them. Rather, it's so they should merit to the world to come. As he says, we describe in Hilchos Tshuva. So, with the Rambam,
how does this fit with the usual statement? Once Mashiach comes, we can't earn any more merits. You're saying that they can.
Yeah, so for the Rambam, what he's saying is that Mashiach is going to come, all the tzaddikim are going to come back to life, and they're going to have no distractions for them. They're just going to be able to earn more merits, essentially, is what he believes.
How?
I mean, why not?
From what I've heard, that maybe keep a tense of this, that, we will have the same free will that angels have. It's purely theoretical. It's not real. So because it's not real, we can't earn any more merits. We only earn merits by...
I think as we see his opposition, it could be that he's quoting the opposite, the other source, the other opinion.
Oh,
so I think so. I think
okay, so.
So
there's two versions.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Big time.
Well, why
so the Rambam here is saying that they'll come back to life and they'll get to sit and learn and just soak it all up, and then they'll go back to Olam Haba. So it's as if they're putting a pause on Olam Haba, Yemos Mashiach, Techiyas HaMesim. They're going to get to add even more and learn even more, and then they're going to go back to Olam Haba. And so therefore, that's when their ultimate reward is going to come. Once they've gotten all these extra merits and once they have boosted themselves in that way. And so therefore, really for the Rambam, it seems like Techiyas HaMesim is only for the really great tzaddikim who have earned it, and that way they can add on to their earnings, and then they'll go back to Olam Haba and they'll get to enjoy it even more. So that's the Rambam. That's one opinion. And I'm not going to throw out his opinion. We should know his opinion. It's important to know his opinion. But as we'll come to see, I don't think it's the normative opinion. Because the Ramban, Nachmanides, he has a three-step process. Right, it's like 2023. Everyone loves step processes. This is the three-step process to whatever it is, to a better life. So the Ramban has a three-step process to Olam Haba. So first is Olam Haza. You have this world, and then what he says is the Mos Mashiach, and then comes Olam Haba. And so therefore a person leaves this world and they don't, like the Rambam says, go right into Olam Haba. Rather, they go into what he calls the Olam HaNeshamos, the world of the Neshamos. This is something we also refer to as Gan Eden, sometimes referred to as Gehenim. And so then that's really kind of like the storage area, we'll say. And after that, so then Mashiach is going to come, Tchias HaMeisim is going to come, and Olam Haba is going to come. And this kind of fits into, I mean, this really fits into what the Torah says when it says that people return. They're going to return to their forefathers. So this is really a return, because the Olam HaNeshamos means that all the Neshamos are gathered there. And so therefore he's going back, their Neshamos is going back to where all the Neshamos are gathered together. And so this is spelled out in source number 6 in the Ramban's Torah HaAdam. I gotta say, the Torah HaAdam is like impossible to find. I tried to find a printed version. Nobody has a printed version. I couldn't even find it on eBay. It's not like they used it to print a printed version. I just don't. This Sefer really eluded me. I was somehow able to piece it together, but the Sefer really eluded me. So anyway, the Ramban says, "Schar nefashos v'kiyumam ba'olam haneshamos nikra l'rabosinu zichron l'vracha gan Eden upamim karen osa aliyah v'yeshiva shalmala." So he says that after a person leaves this world, they go to the Olam HaNeshamos. He says we call this Gan Eden, we call it Aliyah, we call it Yeshiva Shalmala. The Achrei Chen Yavo HaMashiach, and then Mashiach is going to come. Behu Mechlal Chaya Olam Haza. So he says Mashiach is part of this world. Ubesofa, and at the end of the days of Mashiach, Yom Hadin V'Tchias HaMesim Shu Aschar HaKola HaGuf HaNefesh Behu HaIkar HaGadol Shu Tikvas Kol Mekave LeHaKadosh Baruch Hu Behu HaOlam Haba Shibo Yishuv HaGuf. I'm going to stop and I'm going to translate. So he says that the days of Mashiach is part of this world. At the end of the days of Mashiach is going to be Tchias HaMesim. After Tchias HaMesim comes Olam Haba. And then he says that Olam Haba is who HaGuf VaNefesh, that it is both body and soul. And so he says that Olam Haba is it's the Iker HaGadol Shu Tikvas Kol Mekave LaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the main thing that people are hoping for when they're hoping to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'uha Olam Haba, it's the next world. Shabo Yashuv HaGuf, that's when the body will return. Kamo Nefesh V'Nefesh Tidbak V'Das Elyon. So therefore, that's when the body and the soul will connect. But the soul will be connected to the Das Elyon, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So again, it will have that balance. It won't be that the body is being brought down, but it will be that the neshama is actually the more powerful thing. Like we saw from the Gemara and Brachos, that they'll be so satiated by the Shekhinah that they won't have to eat and drink. Why? Because what's running the body? It won't be the physical elements anymore. It'll be the spiritual elements. And so therefore, they'll get their satiation not from food and drink, but they'll get their satiation from being close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then he just finishes off and he says, Kadbaka began Eden, Olam HaNeshamos. So he says that the neshama, the soul, will be connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu the same way it was connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu when it was in the Olam HaNeshamos, meaning when it was in a place where there was no physical body. The Olam HaNeshamos, as the name suggests, is just neshamos. It's just souls. It's just spiritual. There's no body to it. V'tis ala ba'asar g'dol ha'manav yekiyum hakol ade ad u'lenatzach mitzachim. So he says, and this is what will be forever and ever and ever. So there are some clear and, I guess, striking differences between this opinion and the Rambam's opinion. So number one is that he thinks that there is a physical experience in the next world. There is a body in Olam Haba. And also he says that we don't go straight to Olam Haba, but rather it comes after Yemos Mashiach, it comes after Tchias HaMesim, and then comes Olam Haba. He also explains to us, he has a Gan Eden, whereas the Rambam doesn't seem to talk about Gan Eden whatsoever. we explained Mashiach for the Rambam. We explained Tchias Amazim for the Rambam. Unclear if we can explain Gan Eden for the Rambam. Probably what we would have to say is Olam Haba for the Rambam is Gan Eden. That would be the nickname for that. But whereas the Ramban sees Gan Eden as really being where a person goes after this world before Olam Haba, before the world to come. And also the last thing is he seems to say that there is pleasure and reward in Gan Eden, and there's pleasure and reward in Olam Haba, but the pleasure and reward that you get in Olam Haba far surpasses the pleasure and reward you're going to get in Gan Eden. And so it makes, I think, on the surface, it makes a lot more sense to us, this opinion, but there's still a number of questions that need to be asked. And the first question is for the Ramban, so is there one resurrection or is there two? Is there one Tchias HaMesim or is there two? Because he seems to say that Tchias HaMesim comes at the end of Yemot HaMashiach. So then what is Yemot HaMashiach for him? And Rav Sadia Gaon actually seems to say in his Emunas HaVedeos that there's actually two resurrections, that you have one at the beginning of the Yemot HaMashiach, and that's for the absolute tzaddikim, and then you have one at the end of Yemot HaMashiach. So the one at the beginning is for the tzaddikim to come, to experience Yemot HaMashiach, to come experience Mashiach, the rebuilding of the base of Mikdash, all those things that we all hope for. And then the one at the end is for everyone else, like we quoted from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that every single person, every single Jewish person has a chelek in Olam Haba. I always think of this Mishnah. This Mishnah is always quoted at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, in every single chapter of Pirkei Avos. And so I've always kind of pictured that Mishnah, that they have a chelek in Olam Haba, as being a communal garden. I have a sister who lives in Manhattan. I'm not sure why, but she lives in Manhattan. She loves it. She says it's the best place on earth. I say it's because you haven't spent enough time in California. But she absolutely loves it. And I don't know. I lived there for a year and a half, and then Yaf and I got married, and we moved to Teaneck. And not that we lived the high life, but it was much better than living in the Heights. And anyway, I digress. But she has a daughter a couple years older than my oldest, and they like to do normal things to the best of their ability living in Manhattan. And so they've joined a communal garden. And so you get like a square in this communal garden, and maybe if you pay more, you get two squares. I don't know. But you don't get so much space. You get like three carrots and a tomato. I don't know what you get. The rabbi would not be happy with the amount of space that you get in this communal garden, right? And so she sends pictures, and they have a lot of fun. But that's what I picture when it's the every single Jewish person has a chelek in Olam Haba. So you get a little plot in the communal garden, and if you invest more, so you'll get more. If you invest less, so then you'll get less. So according to the Ramban, it seems like that the people who invested the most, they get to enjoy the most Mashiach, and they get all that experience. And then everyone else, they have a share in Olam Haba. So they're going to be part of the second Tchias Mason, the second resurrection. And at that point, they're all going to get their reward, whatever that reward may be. The bigger question, though, is it makes sense to say that there is a guf and a neshama in Olam Haba, to say that there is a physical and a spiritual element to Olam Haba. But the question is, okay, how are they going to relate? What's going to be, is it going to be that we're going to be eat, drink, sleeping, and we're going to oversleep our alarms? Or is it going to be that we'll never sleep? Like, well, what is that relationship going to be? And the Ramchal in his Derech Hashem really goes about this at length. And there's actually a book I would highly recommend. I've been reading up on the Ramchal a little bit because of this, a little bit because I wanted to review. I've been reading Derech Hashem a little bit because of this, and a little bit because I wanted to review Derech Hashem. It's a phenomenal and very fundamental sefer. And there's a book called God and Man. It's by Raphael Moshe Becker. God and Man. I highly recommend it. It's written in English, and it goes through the Derech Hashem in the order, and he just explains it very, very well. One of the advantages that the Ramchal has over Chaim Volozhin, over the Nefesh HaChaim, is the Ramchal was picked up by Art Scroll, Derech Hashem, and all these other things were picked up by Art Scroll, and they were translated, and then they came out with a second version, and they were elucidated. You can get so much information on that. But this is just, it's much smaller, and it's very clear, and it's very good. I highly recommend it. But in his Derech Hashem, so he talks all about how Adam Rishon was created, like I said, 50-50, spiritual and physical. And there was this balance between the two. And then he ate the Eitz Hadas, and it became that the physical really overtook the spiritual. And so the Ramchal talks about how we could exert all of our energy, we could really commit everything we could to it, and it would be, I don't want to say impossible, but next to impossible to reach that balanced level. Our physical is very, very strong in this world. And so therefore we're fighting an uphill battle the whole time to try to get that balance back. But he says that's the point of when you bury the body decays in the grounds. And so therefore, once the body decays and we're going to have a tchias mesim, we're going to have a body and we're going to have a soul. So then what's going to happen? The body's going to be recreated. And he says that when the body's recreated, that's when it's going to be created with that balance once again. And that's why we'll have a body that will be ruled by the soul. We'll have a guf that's ruled by the neshama, because the body won't be the most powerful thing in that point. The neshama will be. And like we saw, it won't be that we live on Dr. Pepper and Twix bars, just me. It won't be that we live on food and drink, but it will be that we live on our from the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the final question, though, is if there is going to be a guf and there is going to be a neshama, so then what's the point of the guf? What's the point of the body? Or if the neshama is going to be in charge and it's going to be running the show, so then what do I need the body for? And Rabbeinu Bachya has a very, I thought this was such an obvious answer that I would have never thought of it, and such a brilliant answer because it was so obvious and I never would have thought about it. So he says, we have 613 mitzvos. And how many of those mitzvos do you think you could do without your body? Some of them, maybe, hopefully. A lot of them, not. And so therefore he says that just like your nefesh, just like your neshama, your soul is going to get rewarded in Olam Haba for everything it did, for getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for working to improve itself, so too the body needs to be rewarded as well. And so therefore he says that it's a necessity that come in Olam Haba that there should be a neshama and there should be a guf, there should be a soul and there should be a body, because they both are deserving of rewards for different things on different levels, but they're both deserving of rewards. So we've seen two different schools of thought. We have the Rambam, which I think I threw out a little bit too quickly, but we have the Rambam who says that it's just two worlds, this world and the next world is just a physical world, and then we had to explain, okay, so what does that mean about Mashiach, and what does that mean about Tchias Meisim? And then we have the Ramban who said we have a three-step process. It's this world, and then the day of Yemos Mashiach, the days of Mashiach, and then Olam Haba, but we have that stepping stone in between, which is the Olam HaNeshamos, the place where Neshamos go, Gan Eden, or the Yeshiva Shamala, or whatever term we're going to give to it. And so it seems like there is one opinion that is much more popular than the other. And it seems like the Ramban wins out, hands down. And when we describe what is going to be like, people tend to describe like the Ramban. And it happens to be that I think that there are a lot of opinions, and I'm going to show some of them now, that talk like the Ramban. So the Ramchal seems to talk a lot about the Ramban, a lot like the Ramban, because he talks about Gan Eden, he talks about Gehenna, he talks about the Olam HaNeshamos, where the Neshama goes to be stored, he talks about it coming back during Yemos Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim, and he also talks about how there's going to be a body and a soul in Olam Haba. And I was talking to somebody recently, Rav Cook. Rav Cook has a very interesting thought. When I was in Chicago, we were learning Rav Cook, and he has a very interesting thought where he talks about the communal neshama, that we have, as Klal Yisrael, have one communal neshama, and there's ways that we can elevate the communal neshama, there's ways we can bring down the communal neshama. And we were very confused by this because we had never seen this before. And I was talking to a friend recently who is still in Chicago, and he was saying, and I was telling him that the Ramchal seems to buy into this idea of this communal neshama, that we're all kind of part of, when we talk about Klal Yisrael, there's actually a Klal Yisrael. There's actually a communal neshama that we're all kind of a part of, which makes sense if you think about it, because now I'm like really thinking about it. And what did I say at the beginning? I said there's three parts to our neshama. the highest part of the neshama connected to the Kisei HaKavod, all the way down to the nefesh, which is inside of us. And the Kisei HaKavod, I said that when we talk about Yaakov Avinu being engraved into the side of the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what we're talking about. And so it makes sense that we all kind of come together at one point. That engraving of Yaakov Avinu on the side of the throne of the Kisei HaKavod, of the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is connecting us all on some level in some way. So the Ramchal kind of, he is very into this idea of this communal neshama, that we're all connected up on this high point. And so when we were talking about this, and I said to him that the Ramchal seems to win when it comes to points of Machshava, when it comes to points of Jewish philosophy, the Ramchal really seems to win. Probably because he put so much time into it. I mean, how many works does he have? He has numerous works where he gets at different elements of Machshava, of Jewish philosophy. And so he seems to really buy into the Ramban's idea that it's this three-step process and Olam HaNeshamos and Aguf HaNeshama and all those things. I was also very excited that last week as I was doing Shnayim Mikra, I saw something very similar. So if you look at the final source over here, Bereishis, comes from the end of Sefer Bereishis, from Parshas Vayechi, and Yaakov Avinu is talking to his sons, Vitzav, Otsam, and he commands them, Vayomer Aleim, and he says to them, Ani Nasaf El Ami. He says that I am going to be gathered back to my nation, which I was saying the Ramban really kind of fits into that when he talks about returning up. So he says, I'm going to be collected back to my nation, Kavrosi El Avosa. He says that I want to be buried with my forefathers, El Hamara Asher Besadei Ephron Hachiti, in the cave that's in the field of Ephron the Chiti. Ma'aris HaMachpelah, as we like to refer to it. So Rashi, on this pasuk, he's trying to explain, what does it mean, Nasaf El Ami, I'm going to be collected back to my nation. So he says, just the first couple words of Rashi, Al Shem Shemachnisen HaNefashos El Makom Gnizasan. So he says, because the souls are all put into one communal place, they have one holding place, which sounds a lot like the Olam HaNeshamos. Sounds a lot like we're talking about, that we have this one place where all the neshamos go, and that's where they're stored, and that's where they stay. And finally, in our liturgy, in our Ashkenazi liturgy, I think we're safe. In our Ashkenazi liturgy, we make at a levaya, when a person passes away, we also make on a yard side a kelmale. And what do we say in the kelmale? To begon Aiden to hey menuchaso, that the soul, the departed soul of the person, they should get their rest in Gan Eden. So again, the Rambam, I don't know what the Rambam would say about Gan Eden. He would probably call Olam Haba Gan Eden, but it wouldn't be the same Gan Eden that we have. So it seems like in the Kelmali, we're also buying into this idea that there is this world, Olam HaNeshamos, and then comes Mashiach, Chias HaMesim, Olam Haba, and the rest of eternity. So just to do a quick summary, and then I'll take any questions, comments, or concerns that anybody might have. So we started off talking about who are we? Who are we? And we said that we are this body and the soul being torn literally in two different ways. And then we saw two different opinions about what Olam Haba is going to be like. The Rambam says we go straight into Olam Haba. The Ramban says we're going to go first into a collecting space, and then Yimos Mashiach, and then Olam Haba. For the Rambam, Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim, that's just a way for tzaddikim to get their reward. For the Ramban, Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim, that's a way to welcome us in to the days of Mashiach. So therefore, we saw one of the major differences between the Rambam, and the Ramban is this idea of Gan Eden, that there's a Gan Eden, there's a Gehenna, whatever word we're going to give to it, which is a perfect stopping point, because that will bridge us perfectly for next time, where Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to talk about what is Gan Eden, what is Gehenna, what's the Olam HaNeshamos, what does it look like, what's its purpose, and we're going to answer my favorite question. When people say their neshama should have an aliyah, you're going to leave next time knowing what it means when people say their neshama should have an aliyah. It's like the rabbi has, you know, I don't know how many pet peeves. I have a little bit less than him. But one of my big pet peeves is that nobody knows. They say it, but they don't know it. And I'm a big believer. If you say it, you got to know it. So that's Be'ezer Hashem for next time.